Everyone knew a wizard didn't need a chaperone. It was just the tone of the princess's, "Oh, that's all right then," that made him writhe inside. Kaylee was sitting at her dressing table, brushing her hair. Very few men in the world ever find out what a princess wears under her dresses, and Cutwell joined them with extreme reluctance, but with remarkable self-control. Only the frantic bobbing of his Adam's apple betrayed him. There was no doubt about it. He'd been no good for magic for days. She turned, and he caught a whiff of talcum powder. For weeks, damn it, for weeks. "You look a bit hot, Cutwell. Is something the matter?"
"No."
"I'm sorry?"
He shook himself. "Concentrate on the hairbrush, man, the hairbrush. Just a bit of magical experimenting, ma'am. Only superficial burns."
"Is it still moving?"
"I'm afraid so."
Kaylee turned back to the mirror. Her face was set.
"Have we got time?"
This was the bit he'd been dreading. He'd done everything he could. The royal astrologer had been sobered up long enough to insist that tomorrow was the only possible day the ceremony could take place, so Cutwell had arranged for it to begin 1 second after midnight. He'd ruthlessly cut the score of the royal trumpet fanfare. He'd timed the high priest's invocation to the gods and then sub-edited heavily. There was going to be a row when the gods found out. The ceremony of the anointing with sacred oils had been cut to a quick dab behind the ears. Skateboards were an unknown invention on the disc. If they hadn't been, Kaylee's trip up the aisle would have been unconstitutionally fast. And it still wasn't enough. He nerved himself.
"I think possibly not," he said. "It could be a very close thing."
He saw her glare at him in the mirror.
"How close?"
Very.
"Are you trying to say it might reach us at the same time as the ceremony?"
More sort of, before it,"
said Cutwell wretchedly. There was no sound but the drumming of Kaylee's fingers on the edge of the table. Cutwell wondered if she was going to break down or smash the mirror. Instead, she said, "How do you know?" He wondered if he could get away with saying something like, "I'm a wizard, we know these things," but decided against it. The last time he'd said that, she'd threatened him with the axe. "I asked one of the guards about that inn Mort talked about," he said. "Then I worked out the approximate distance it had to travel. Mort said it was moving at a slow walking pace, and I reckon his stride is about..."
"As simple as that? You didn't use magic?"
"Only common sense. A lot more reliable in the long run."
She reached out and patted his hand. "Poor old Cutwell," she said.
"I am only 20, ma'am."
She stood up and walked over to the dressing room. One of the things you learn when you're a princess is always to be older than anyone of inferior rank.
"Yes, I suppose there must be such things as young wizards," she said over her shoulder. "It's just that people always think of them as old. I wonder why this is."
"Rigors of the calling, ma'am,"
said Cutwell, rolling his eyes. He could hear the rustle of silk.
"What made you decide to become a wizard?"
Her voice was muffled, as if she had something over her head.
"It's indoor work with no heavy lifting," said Cutwell. "And I suppose I wanted to learn how the world worked."
"Have you succeeded then?"
"No."
Cutwell wasn't much good at small talk. Otherwise, he'd never have let his mind wander sufficiently to allow him to say,
"What made you decide to become a princess?"
After a thoughtful silence, she said,
"It was decided for me, you know."
"Sorry, I..."
"Being royal is a sort of family tradition. I expect it's the same with magic. No doubt your father was a wizard."
Cutwell gritted his teeth.
No, he said. "Not really. Absolutely not, in fact."
He knew what she would say next, and here it came, reliable as the sunset, in a voice tinged with amusement and fascination.
"Oh, is it really true that wizards aren't allowed to..."
"Well, if that's all, I really should be going," said Cutwell loudly. "If anyone wants me, just follow the explosions. I..."
Kaylee had stepped out of the dressing room. Now, women's clothes were not a subject that preoccupied Cutwell much. In fact, usually when he thought about women, his mental picture seldom included any clothes at all. But the vision in front of him really did take his breath away. Whoever had designed the dress didn't know when to stop. They'd put lace over the silk and trimmed it with black vermin, and strung pearls anywhere that looked bare, and puffed and starched the sleeves, and then added silver filigree, and then started again with the silk. In fact, it really was amazing what could be done with several ounces of heavy metal, some irridated mollusks, a few dead rodents, and a lot of thread wound out of insects' bottoms. The dress wasn't so much worn as occupied.